This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Now, the Illinois Department of Public Health issued a statement urging everyone to continue to follow safety precautions as regions of Illinois begin to move through different levels of COVID-19 mitigations. Regardless, IDPH Director Dr. Ingaze Ezike stated that everyone should continue mask wearing and social distancing practices.
I hope that people will see that, you know, these mitigations have done what they're supposed to. But now that those numbers have come down, we have to do our part to protect it there.
For a list of Tier 1 mitigations, go to nowdecatur.com. Governor J.B. Pritzker's decision to prioritize COVID-19 vaccinations to the state's prison population was met with headlines that appeared that he was putting healthy, young inmates in front of Illinois' elderly population. But criminal justice advocates say there's more to it. As of the week ending January 12th, 9,569 prisoners in non-federal prisons in Illinois had been infected with COVID-19. That's a rate of 2,589 infections per 10,000 prisoners. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
We're back. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's the message to the World Health Organization restoring funding former President Trump cut off.
For citing her
And will resume regular engagement of U.S. government personnel with the WHO.
That's Chief Biden medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci. As the new president readies a new plan to battle the coronavirus, Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, the Biden administration's national strategy for the COVID-19 response and pandemic preparedness outlines several goals: restoring trust with the American people, mounting a safe and effective vaccination campaign, expanding testing and treatments and emergency relief, and safely reopening schools and businesses. The strategy is expected to be put in place largely through executive action. One order mandates mask wearing on many planes, trains, and other forms of transportation. The president will also work with governors and mayors to work on mask wearing nationwide. Dave.
Rachel, yesterday saw a rise back up in COVID deaths, more than 4,300 in the U.S., almost a record. A lot more Americans are out of work and need help. Fox's Lillian Wu has a Just At report live.
Dave, 900,000 more Americans filed for first-time jobless help last week. That's a drop of 26,000 from the week before and also below expectations, but it's still historically high as surging COVID cases continue battering the economy. Now, continuing claims that the number still receiving help, that fell slightly from 5.2 million. To less than 5.1. Dave?
Lillian, an attack in Iraq, two suicide bombings at a busy market in Baghdad. At least 32 people were killed, more than 100 injured. Fresh anti-police protests in Portland, Oregon led to vandalism. And officers firing tear gas to break up the crowd of about 150 in the streets. Eight were arrested, and there were three more handcuffed in protests in Seattle. America's listening to Fox News.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccines? They're here, but you can do more than wait for your turn. Here's how. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with. And it's risky to be indoors with them, too. And masks? Well, they protect both the person wearing them and the folks around them. Wear a mask, watch your distance, and make a big difference now.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Need a good laugh? Then stop everything and check out the funniest new podcast of the year. I'm talking about This Is Important, the podcast featuring the comic geniuses from the hit TV show Workaholics. Hear Adam Devine, Anders Holm, Blake Anderson, and Kyle Nowacek probe today's most important topics, like cuisine.
Are you eating sushi off of people?
Yes.
You can't do that right now.
They're sanitized.
This is hard-hitting stuff. This is Important, the funniest new podcast of the year. Listen to This Is Important wherever you get your podcasts.
President Biden putting out his COVID strategy, wanting to speed up vaccinations, is something few of us imagined on this day 1 year ago.
It started as a medical mystery in Wuhan, China, about 24 cases of pneumonia, the cause unknown. Most Americans weren't concerned about the illness that was far from our borders, but that changed on January 21st last year when the CDC announced the first travel-related case of coronavirus in the U.S. The patient from Washington State had recently traveled to Wuhan. 3 months later, COVID-19 was spreading out of control nationwide. Most states imposed lockdowns to slow down the virus, but the pandemic raged on, and the U.S. would end up leading the world in coronavirus cases and deaths, with more than 400,000 lives lost. Steve Rappaport, Fox News.
One of President Biden's 17 executive orders and actions yesterday urged Americans to wear masks for the next 100 days and mandated masks on federal property. Someone who spoke at President Biden's inauguration went viral. Amanda Gorman now has more than a million followers on Twitter. She had only about 50,000 when she took the stage less than 24 hours ago.
Reciting her poem, "The Hill We Climb," at the inauguration.
For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
And her following continues to grow. The 22-year-old from Los Angeles becoming the youngest known inaugural poet in U.S. history. Her piece created as a message of unity penned in the wake of the violence on Capitol Hill. Gorman becoming the top trending topic on Google during the ceremony. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures now mixed, falling from earlier despite the decline last week in first-time jobless claims down to 900,000 yesterday. The Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P 500 hit record highs. Someone got lucky last night in Maryland, hitting the jackpot with the only winning Powerball ticket worth $730 million. The rest of us can dream about tomorrow, the Mega Millions prize worth nearly $1 billion. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 46, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 21. For Friday, partly sunny with a high near 28, and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 32. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 30 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:06, and this look at your weather brought to you by Staley Credit Union. We go everywhere you go.
Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of the company. Beth Nolan will join us from the DPS 61 Board of Education. They had a special meeting last night. We'll tell you about what that was about. We also have Debbie Bogle from the United Way. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday. Good morning and welcome. We have a lot to get to here today. There was a special board meeting last night with District 61. Beth Nolan joins us this morning. First of all, good morning and how are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. All right. Tell me what the purpose of the meeting was last night.
Well, it was a special work session to discuss the progress of the BOLD facility plan. We are coming to the close of that with all of our buildings that we've been renovating and building coming online to see students in August. And we've been, in the last 6 weeks or so, been made aware by administration that we are running into a couple of hiccups. And we thought it was important that in order to solve some of these problems, it's going to require some maneuvering, and it was time to alert the public of what was going on and have the board be able to sit around the table with administration and ask some questions.
Okay, and from what I understand, some of this is about capacity issues at some of the elementary schools?
Correct. So, you know, if we rewound the clock in the start of this project about 3 years ago, when we first came on the board and Dr. Frigo first arrived, we knew we had some facility challenges, especially in the elementaries. We had too many buildings. We had nurses and social workers who were being split between buildings, and we knew that that was not good for our students. Nothing was air-conditioned, or very few of the buildings were air-conditioned. And so we had some overall goals that we wanted to accomplish. In conjunction with, we knew we had programs like Montessori, Dennis Lab School, Johns Hill, that were at capacity with long waiting lists, and programs that were being delivered, like music, art, in the hallway. And that was not good. And we knew that if we wanted to be able to attract more students to our district, we were going to have to expand the ability for people to get into those programs and reduce those waiting lists. So that was kind of the genesis of all of this, and we enacted the Bold Facility Plan, and we're well on our way with having some of those buildings come online the last couple of years. But what remains for this August are the consolidation of Parsons and Stevenson, Oak Grove and Franklin, and then the completion of Johns Hill. And as we're starting to look at the projected enrollment numbers for next year and where those students actually live, we're realizing we're short classrooms at Parsons, and we're really having to make some makeshift accommodations at Franklin to be able to accommodate the students that are in those boundaries.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about the discussion last night and what some of the recommendations were.
So the recommendations from administration was to modify the boundary. So in conjunction with this, we had originally planned to merge Muffley and Baum as a dual campus and have one boundary to accommodate both of those schools, with half the school building, for example, perhaps like K through third grade in one building, fourth through sixth in another. It was very clear from those communities, both the staff and the people living in those boundaries, that that was not really something they wanted to do. They wanted to keep those buildings as individual standalone buildings. And we have to come back in to accommodate dividing that boundary back up. And as part of that, we're going to carve off a couple of neighborhoods, have them attend BOM as opposed to going to Parsons. That was the recommendation from administration. There are four essential skills and life skills classrooms, which are the high needs special education programs that we deliver currently at Parsons. And the recommendation is from administration is to move those four classrooms out of that building, have two of them go to BOM, and have two of them go to the Montessori program. And when that happens, it frees up four classrooms that can accommodate the remaining boundary that is currently the Parsons-Stevenson boundary.
All right, and did you take any action on that, or were these just discussions at this point?
No, these were just discussions. And, you know, we asked a lot of questions. First of all, how did we get here? Because, you know, we had this demographic study done that projected what enrollment is. We're actually below what was being projected, and yet we're still short classrooms. How did that math work out? How is it that we're going to be able to accommodate growing our school district and gaining market share if we don't have any classrooms? Because one thing became very clear is there is no vacancy in DPS after this is done. In fact, two of those life skills classrooms that would be moved out of Parsons to Montessori would be a one-year temporary fix, and then we don't know where we would be able to put them because we would be out of classrooms across the district. And that became very unsettling for our board, that we would be moving some of the most fragile population of our students, and not just moving them once, but moving them twice.
And what were the answers from the administration to those questions?
Well, we didn't get a lot of answers beyond the how do we make this work for August. Some of the things that they said that they are going to be looking at for a more of a long-term solution is moving the sixth graders across the district in the elementaries to Stephen Decatur. That was an idea that was floated several years ago that we tabled. But I think at this point in time, it needs to be back on the table, especially as enrollment at Stephen Decatur has declined, as we have expanded the enrollment at the K-8 buildings. So we're back to Stephen Decatur now being an underutilized facility. We definitely will have room there. They have not done the intricacies of the math to be able to figure out if Stephen Decatur could accommodate this and what that would entail. So that was one of the charges that we gave them last night, like, go investigate this and see what this looks like. Perhaps not for a fix for August, but we need to understand, is this a long-term solution? But there, you know, there were not a lot of good answers about the long-term fix of it. We have a problem. We're short classrooms.
All right. So what happens next, Beth?
We have given them a charge to go back. I mean, some of these solutions would be that we would keep maybe one of these elementary buildings that we were anticipating closing back online, as, you know, there was something floated last night about maybe there becomes a sixth grade attendance center, that maybe the Parsons-Stevenson split, we have overflow at the old Stevenson, and we would go back in, we would air condition that building and make it up to snuff. but that there would be overflow there. And, you know, the biggest conundrum for me that I have a problem with is if there's no room at the inn today and we know we have lost students because of this pandemic that I hope return to our district for whatever reason. They went to private school because they wanted in person, or they just fell off the radar screen because they're just kind of lost in the wind. Those students are going to come back. And if they come back as a surprise in August, the district is going to be scrambling once again because there are no rooms to be able to accommodate them.
How much parental involvement, how much staff involvement, do you get a sense of where the disconnect is?
The disconnect in terms of the enrollment numbers?
I don't want to be critical here. I mean, what seems to be... You said math, and I feel like so much of this is math. Where is the disconnect in a multi-year plan? And clearly no one could plan for a pandemic and the unique problems that
But this is not about the pandemic. I mean, we had a demographer's report where we knew what the total number of students was going to be, and they've been pretty much right on the money. In fact, we're under what their projections were. So if we actually had the 300 students that they were projecting that we would have had this year, we would really be in trouble. So I don't have a good answer for this. And there's a mobility problem within our district. So within the boundaries of the different schools, we certainly see movement. One of the assertions last night from the administration was that there was just an influx of people who moved north into that Stevenson-Parsons boundary, which is really the school that's causing us the most problem. We've been told all along that this first year before all the dust settles out was going to be tight. Now, I can understand tight. What I can't understand is we're short four classrooms, because that's not just tight. This is not a function of we've seen 300 kids move into the district that we weren't expecting.
All right, so what are the next steps? Clearly, you've tasked the administration to come back with some solutions. Give me the
Correct.
Timeline. You know, how will this play out over the next few weeks?
Well, I mean, we have to make decisions about what buildings are going to be closed by the end of February. So we know that that's the case. The magnet lottery closes at the end of January, so we will know, you know, which kids from an enrollment perspective, which students are placed inside Johns Hill that will be placed inside American Dreamers and Montessori. So we'll have a little bit of a better idea of where students shake out from in the boundaries that give us a more defined idea of who is going to be going to the neighborhood schools, and we'll take it from there.
All right, Beth, we appreciate it. Best of luck to you. Keep us updated,
and we
thank you for calling in today. Beth Nolan from the DPS 61 Board of Education. We've had this conversation I don't know how many times. Life's hard enough. Things are difficult enough without just sort of the misfires. And it just seems like there have been a lot.
Yeah, you would hope, it's like a tale of two stories. I mean, there's on one hand, you have all this positive drive towards better facilities, better plans, better all that.
I mean, look at just sort of what this facility plan has meant for just the economy. I mean, there's been over $27 million in direct construction wages and 365 union construction jobs created. I mean, there's a lot of positives in all of this.
Yeah, and that sometimes, over the years has been always overshadowed because dirt gets kicked on it, and sometimes it's warranted. When we're talking about math and projections and numbers that you kind of have a hand on, sometimes you need to recount and you need to reevaluate and make sure that there's enough chairs for everybody to meet the numbers. And it's unfortunate that I don't want to say this slipped through the cracks, but it's unfortunate that it got to the point of having to make some really tough decisions and bringing, pouring more water on or putting a damp blanket on something that, potentially could be trending in the right direction. It's tough.
Yeah, it really is. And you don't want to pile on, and that's not the intent at all. But it's like you feel like you got a plan, and then all of a sudden, Yeah. Somebody throws a wrench into the middle of the planning. Oh, okay, we did all this planning, but we're somehow short of classrooms. And it doesn't seem to be easily understood just looking from the outside looking in. And I'm willing to admit that there's probably a whole lot more to it than making it that simple. But, you know, come on. Got to do better.
I mean, hopefully, you know, I guess this is one of those things from the outside and oversimplifying it looking in. If you're short chairs and you have buildings that you're going to decommission, there is a stopgap of saying, all right, well, those buildings just have to stay on for a little bit longer than we expected, and how to get them to that versus not having anywhere to go. You know, so I think this is something that could be a short-term pivot, but it's going to need some reevaluation on the long term for sure.
Yeah, and you know, problems are not easy. I mean, and the larger the scale we're talking about, and it is a school district that is so much larger than any other school district around us, right?
Right.
That complicates everything. But you know, that's why you pay people to do the job. I mean, you gotta have, you gotta be better than this. I mean, you just have to be.
That's right. And one other thing that wasn't even mentioned that, unless I missed it, was what if Decatur picks up? We've got new employers coming here. We've got, you know, some growth that's expected in some ways. All of a sudden, you're going to be needing more chairs anyway.
Yeah, you can't just – it's not just a question of covering what you have. It is planning for future growth.
Yeah. I
mean, that would be at least the expectation. So, you know, who knows? We'll see, and maybe they'll get it together. We've got to take a quick break. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. Back with more right after this.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 46, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 21. For Friday, partly sunny with a high near 28, and Saturday mostly sunny with a high near 32. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 30 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:20.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
With a First Mint debit card, you have a trusted friend. Take it with you wherever you go, like your best pal. When you need some space, leave it at home and pay with mobile wallet. Find your debit card is missing? Just turn your card off with Card Valet until you're reunited. You can also set spending limits and get alerts on your phone so your card won't go shopping without you. You and your debit card will have the perfect friendship every step along the way. Visit firstmint.com. First Mint Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com. Under the rain, songs open, fire.
Ain't nothing new, we all have. Still ahead, Debbie Bogle will join us from the United Way. And looking for your favorite moment of yesterday's entire day of inaugural activities. I thought Jon Bon Jovi did a nice job.
Yeah, he did. By the way, that
but
was
did he go gray? Goodness.
Oh, yeah. He looked good. Was he doing a voice thing in that song? Like,
what do you mean?
I'm not used to him singing the way that he sounded. Was he trying to? I don't know.
I think I haven't talked to him today. I think that it was more the song, right? I mean, yeah. George Harrison had that higher voice.
That's what I mean. And he was emulating it, right? That wasn't sung as Bon Jovi normally sings. That's all I... And I only thought
well,
that
I think there's a difference between John Bon Jovi and Bon Jovi, meaning one was sort of a hair band.
That's true, I guess.
You know, and he's been a little more, you know, delving into other areas as a solo artist.
Yep.
I just, the gray hair kind of thing, I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah, I thought he looked good too, but it made me wonder how old he is. He's probably coming up on.
He has to be. I mean, you know, we told you Springsteen's 71.
Right.
I would assume that John Bon Jovi, just in my lifetime, here, I'll pull it up for you and tell you, he was born in 1962, so he is 58 years old.
Wow, okay.
That's been a nice mix of the old and the new last night, and I'd put Justin Timberlake somewhere in between,
yeah.
Right? So the new, you just had the Black Pumas, which was that, I'd never heard of them. I loved how they, and this is talking about Celebrating America, which was the primetime show that was produced last night, the way they used the map, you know, and then they would dial in to where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in Austin, which is an incredible music scene.
Oh, for sure.
And I just, man, I'd never heard of them, didn't know what to expect, I really liked what I heard.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them. I've seen them a little bit, but I didn't take them nearly as serious as I probably will now. I really like the song they perform. They have a cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. That's really,
really
good. Yeah, it's pretty solid. It's too slow for a morning bump music, but it's a song that's probably worth putting in rotation.
I will check that out. I'm very curious. And that is the amazing thing about the world that we live in today is before you'd have to have a job and go make some money and buy a CD. And now we have all of it at our fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I saw a lot of posts, like positive posts from people yesterday or going into yesterday. I saw one woman that African-American woman who told her little girl when she dropped her off at school that when I pick you up later today, an African-American woman will be the vice president of the United States. And she said, I've waited so long to be able to say something so proud that meant so much to me, to my little kid, that it's like there's stories of that all throughout, you know, of different people that have arrived that are now being looked at as serious candidates for serious things in the world, not just politics, but we saw the story of the field goal kicker from Vanderbilt. We've seen, you know, head coaches in basketball. We saw the new general manager in baseball, and women have really arrived in places where they've not been expected, and minorities have arrived in places that they've not been given opportunities to. And this is not all because of the inauguration or Joe Biden or anything like that, but when you're an American, you're buying into that dream that anything is possible. And sometimes you leave terrible, terrible places to come here. And to see that vision front and center, to see all those different people doing what they love, whether it be a nurse, whether it be a country music star, a poet, a politician, whatever it is, and doing their part and being part of the fabric of America was like, it was really touching, even though that's not the headline. It was just the tapestry that was weaved throughout the entire couple of days of stories.
Yeah, and I think that the need for that inspiration, there will be people who will mock it and people who will make fun of it. There will be people that will do whatever. I mean, that's and by the way, before we jump all on one side or the other, it is not unlike at all what was trending on Twitter 4 years ago.
Right.
I mean, there's just always that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the side that says we're the inclusive side does plenty of their own bashing if it's something that doesn't go their way.
No question. There's no question at all about that.
The irony yesterday was you had a whole lot of Democrats mocking Trump fans. You know, here's what you said to us 4 years ago, so here's what we're saying to you. It's like, okay, neither one acknowledging that both behaviors are bad.
Right.
I mean, that was the irony of Twitter to me yesterday.
Oh,
that I'm going to take what I thought was horrible behavior by you 4 years ago, and I'm going to replicate it today and feel justified in doing it. It's the exact same thing.
It is absolutely the same thing. And a lot of these things that I was inspired by, I think it speak to the majority of people, too. Not just minorities, but it could be, you know, white kids that are growing up or with the same struggles or people that stutter. It's to all of us.
I thought it was well done all the way across, and I was really surprised at how well done last night was. I mean, I didn't expect that. I mean, not in a mocking kind of way. I just, you know, the stuff they've done during COVID just has, you know, when you get Hollywood involved or yeah. entertainment has been kind of flat to me and maybe a little pretentious. Mm-hmm. And I just thought last night there was some real joy there, to be found. And that fireworks show, I gotta tell you, as a guy, I'm not a huge fireworks fan. Not, I don't dislike them. I'm just not, it just doesn't do for me what it does for a lot of people. That was the most amazing fireworks show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Not a question. Not even close anywhere else.
Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed it. I hope everyone did. And take away a little hope and inspiration and maybe aspiration. We'll take a break for bottom of the hour stories and news. We've got a lot to get to here today. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shyler with your stories now. Governor J.B. Pritzker's decision to prioritize COVID-19 vaccinations to the state's prison population was met with headlines that appeared that he was putting healthy young inmates in front of Illinois' elderly population. But criminal justice advocates say there's more to it. As of the week ending January 12th, 9,569 prisoners in non-federal prisons in Illinois had been infected with COVID-19. That's a rate of 2,589 infections per 10,000 prisoners. The Human Trafficking Research Lab at Milliken University is partnering with Set Free Macon County to host its fourth annual panel discussion for Human Trafficking Awareness Month entitled Impact of COVID-19 on Human Trafficking. The panel discussion will be live streamed on Thursday, January 28th at 4 p.m. on Milliken University's Facebook page and will round out events held around the United States for Human Trafficking Awareness Month 2021. The panel will discuss the implications of human trafficking efforts to investigate and rehabilitate survivors during the pandemic. To learn more about the panel, go to nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's focus on his first full day in office is coronavirus response. He'll announce a new federal strategy for more vaccinations, testing, and treatment and keeping schools open. He's already signed 17 executive actions and orders yesterday, a few hours after being sworn in.
He stopped construction of the border wall and reversed the so-called Muslim travel ban. President Biden also rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement, rejoined the World Health Organization, killed the Keystone Pipeline, and issued a 100-day masking challenge. And he says that's just the start.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. New weekly unemployment claims are down a bit.
We came in at 900,000. Then you go to the continuing claim story, which many economists say has been stubbornly high. The estimate was for 5.4 million on the continuing claims data. Much better than expected, coming in at 5.054.
Cheryl Fasoni with Fox Business. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our six convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 46, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 21. For Friday, partly sunny with a high of 28, and Saturday mostly sunny with a high near 32. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 32 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:33.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. Right now is the time we head to Benjamin F. Edwards and Jamie Bruner, who is standing by. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. The popular averages closed higher on Wednesday, and the Dow was up 258 points to 31,188. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ closed higher as well. Stocks in the technology and communication sectors led the move higher as investors digested several major earnings reports. Earnings reports have been better than expected so far, with most companies beating fourth quarter consensus expectations. Separately, Joe Biden was inaugurated as the 46th president of the United States of America. In his inaugural address, he stressed the need for unity among Americans. In European trading, the London FTSE was up 1/10, and the DAX in Frankfurt was up 0.28%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was up 0.82%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was down 23/32, pushing its yield up to 1.098%. Gold futures were up 60 cents at $1,867. Crude oil futures were down 24 cents at $53 a barrel. Right now, the Dow is trading at 31,223, a positive 36 points. ADM at 53.43, Ameren 72.19, Caterpillar 192.15, Norfolk Southern 251.02, PPG 144.27, Tate and Lyle 36.77, and Mueller Water 12.27. And actress Laura Dern once said, "You can change, and you can be an agent of change." This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie. As always, we appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. By the way, if you missed the entirety of the young poet at the inauguration yesterday, the entire transcript of that poem is in the Now Decatur Refresh email this morning. And it is so interesting to read words on paper versus the way they're delivered.
Right. And you find yourself like Anderson Cooper tried to do it last night. He was trying to read it, but it was like the way he knew her pattern, kind of. So.
Yeah, a little bit. interesting stuff. So check it out. You can sign up for the Refresh for free. It comes to your email Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and Saturday morning for a weekend edition. All kinds of great stuff in there each and every day from our very own Lindsay Romano. And I also, as I was looking through, I still haven't watched the New Radicals. We talked about that song being in the Brahani Wedding, and I missed that performance, too.
It was during the parade?
It was during the parade?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
And that recording is available, and I'll be honest, they sound exactly like they did. I mean, it held up.
So where were they during the parade?
I don't know. I just watched the video clip.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what it was, but they had to edit a little bit. Some of the words were a little in like the rap portion. They didn't have time for the rap, but they would have had to tweak it a little bit because they're talking about things like healthcare and all that. That didn't really fit the theme, but by and large, the song was pretty cool.
Okay, well, you know, this next story sounds like it belonged in last year, but why the hell not? We just keep rolling with it. Trillions of cicadas are said to emerge across 15 U.S. states this spring as a colony of insects known as Brood 10 awakens from a 17-year-long hibernation. The bugs, collectively known as locusts, are expected to appear for the first time since 2004 in Delaware, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Washington, D.C., and, yes, Illinois. And they have spent almost two decades underground in what is called a nymph state, eating tree root sap, and they're going to crawl out mid-May to late June. And once above ground, they will set about mating. And this is the purpose of their life cycle. By the way, the noise, which can hit 100 decibels, during this whole mating thing, and then they're gonna lay their eggs before dying. So I suppose in some way you could explain to me why we have to have this, or it's part of the circle of life. I hate these things.
Yeah, I remember, when I was a kid playing in my sandbox and finding all their little carcasses laying around. That was not fun. But didn't we have cicadas like in the last two or three years?
You get different kinds of cicadas, okay. But this particular one has been dormant for 17 years. This is a cycle. And yes, kind of like the Weather Channel, you know, we've got new names for storms every year. And I feel like cicadas have always been a part of life in central Illinois. The densities, according to an entomologist, can be as great as 1.5 million per acre.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? The thing that kind of creeps me out the most about them is when you go along a tree and where they have molted or lost their skin, like as they're climbing, like they're hooked up on a branch or in some of the most weird spots. It's like a zombie land of cicada carcasses all over everywhere.
And the crazy thing is this 17-year thing is about a strange survival strategy. Like they appear in huge numbers to be able to overwhelm their predators, literally.
They're storming the gate. That's commitment to a strategy.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then they die basically by a fungus that basically turns them into zombies. The whole thing is so strange. So just add it to your calendar. Why not?
Yeah, this 2020 is kind of spilling over a little bit. It's trying to hang in there for 2021.
Yeah. Ugh. Not looking forward to that at all. Mm-hmm. I am really looking forward to spring.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that portion.
Is the countdown on? I mean, are people counting it down?
Yeah, like 60 days or something. I mean, or less than that, you know. So, I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah, the sun's looking great today. This is a nice day.
46, 47 degrees. Perfect day. And then the jetpack guy.
Oh, I'm bummed by this. If they're pinning down who he is, I'm bummed because I like the mystery.
They believe it's not a he.
Oh, really?
They believe that it's a drone that looks like a man.
Oh, that's awesome. I like
is
that.
It?
Yeah, that's fun. Okay, the mystery's still going.
The mystery is still going, but there is evidently now you can find what looks like kind of an army man, you know, with a jetpack, but it is actually not a person. It's a drone.
Okay. I'm with that, but, you know, I'm sure that that's cover for some time a dude is going to or a woman is going to fly around out on a drone.
And there is a photo of a guy operating one of these. I mean, he's got the helmet. I mean, it looks like a jetpack guy. It's like a life-size drone in the shape of an Army guy.
Okay.
Now, if you're flying in a plane, you're a pilot, and you see that, you would clearly think that was a human being, right?
Yeah, I think we might be getting bait and switched here. I think there's somebody that is powering around.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Make more sense, though?
Yes. But I think it's probably both.
All right. Anyway, you can read it. I found it on thedrive.com.
Oh, wow.
And you can check it out yourself. It would answer a lot of questions.
Sure would.
So anyway, on the other side of the break, Debbie Bogle will join us from the United Way. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
I mask up because I want to keep my patients, my colleagues, my family, my friends, and myself safe.
I wear a mask because I want to protect my patients, family, and friends.
I mask up because it helps prevent the spread of the virus and keeps respiratory droplets contained.
The SIU Center for Family Medicine masks up for our community, and you should too.
Did things change for you financially this past year? Have you just had it with preparing your own tax returns? Let CATS Tax Service in Decatur prepare them for you. CATS Tax Service preparers are trained yearly in the latest tax laws, and you never need an appointment, so you can have your taxes prepared at your convenience. CATS Tax Service, professional service at competitive fees. CATS Tax Service, in the same location since 1972. In Decatur at 812 South 16th Street, just off Cantrell.
January's Blizzard of a Sale is happening right now at Shop on Main. Loads of items are now available at 50% off or more. Christmas decor, cuddly soft sweaters, warm fashion coats, and a lot of other items that'll be great for the cold, snowy days that lie ahead. Shop on Main is cleaning house to prepare for a fabulous 2021 with fresh new home decor, gifts, and casual, comfy apparel. It's time to kick off 2021 with a blizzard of a sale. Shop on Main, 407 North Main Street in downtown Decatur. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering.
We're all spending a little more time at home these days. Why not use that time to tackle those home projects with help from Maroa Lumber? At Maroa Lumber, we offer top quality building materials and knowledgeable customer service with products like Anderson Windows, TimberTech Composite Decking, Therma-True Exterior Doors, and our extensive rental department. No project will go unfinished. We also offer contractor referrals, delivery, and curbside pickup. Maroa Lumber is your building materials headquarters. Save money, shop local at Maroa Lumber, 794-2226.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. 8:43 your time. Time now to check in with Debbie Bogle from the United Way, as we do each and every Thursday morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking. What's up? What's the latest?
Well, I was just listening to you talk about the cicadas and just remembering Lakeside Music and Arts Festival and just being bombarded with those.
Those were mayflies. Those were mayflies.
Were they really?
Yes. Different.
Those were horrible.
Yes. Just as horrible, but a whole different insect. And they don't make the noise, at least.
I see. I just remember everything being covered with them. It was awful. So I don't like either of those insects.
I don't either. Hey, what's going on with your equity push? Can people, a question I had, can you still sign up or did you have to be involved from the beginning?
No, you can sign up anytime and you'll start getting the emails. But once you get your first email, you can click on the link and it'll take you to all the past weeks. So you can sign up anytime during this. And really, you can get it done, you know, even quicker once they get all of the materials out. And it's just a matter of originally it was a 21-day challenge, but that seemed like an awful lot of time commitment that was just, you know, maybe too much. So we've spread it out over 21 weeks where you can just you get the email. It's about 15 minutes of a material that you can either a video to watch, an article to read, different things. And then there's, and you can take it to whatever level you want. There's journals. So you know, they'll ask questions and things to make you think about everything that you've, that they've discussed that day. And, we're really excited to be able to help bring it. It's throughout Illinois. It was, our United Way of Illinois. We got together, and this is something that the United Ways of Indiana did, Michigan. And we borrowed some of their material and partnered with United Way of Metro Chicago and got this made in a really quick time frame to be able to roll it out in January. So we're excited about it. You can sign up at any time. And we just encourage you. There's just so much information there that just to create an understanding in our community. And this was made possible by a Healing Illinois grant that was distributed throughout Illinois, and to be able to bring this to communities, make the challenge, and be able to promote that challenge. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, I think people, you know, I don't know why some people don't want to learn or at least learn or look at things from a different perspective or point of view, but it's certainly not a huge time commitment, you know, 15 minutes a week to maybe see things a little different way.
Right, and just create an understanding. And, you know, I think if we can all work together on this and look at everybody's background and their side of it and, you know, how they feel. And, you know, that's one of the most important things. You know, I don't pretend to understand to say that I understand everything, but this is such a great tool to start those conversations and really dive deeper into these issues. And that was the intent of the Healing Illinois grant. It was to find ways that as communities that we could have these conversations and created deeper understanding. So we were really excited to be able to be a part of that and help. We actually were able to fund several things here in Macon County through the library, a junior high book club. They're bringing an author in. And several other organizations that are really working towards this racial equality.
All right. Talk to me about what's the latest with the renters and landlords project that you've been working on and had so much success. Anything new to add to that story?
We are working on that right now, just gathering the information about the tenants. And if there's any landlords out there or tenants that have questions about it, please call us or go on our website, email us. We want to make sure it's getting to the right people at the right time to make sure that we don't have a huge issue now or in the spring where people are being evicted, if we can help prevent that. And it's all COVID related. If you've been laid off, let go, reduced hours, you've been off sick because of COVID, you've been in quarantine and couldn't work and didn't get sick time or vacation time for that. So there's lots of different pieces to it that we can look at on a case-by-case basis and make those decisions. Our goal is to help as many people as we can. And really with this grant, we're able to almost double our money working directly with the landlords. And it's just been such a great project, and we're excited about it. I also want to mention as this pandemic has gone on, there's still a lot of people, and some of them just now are facing some of the issues that we talked about at the very beginning, where they need food, they need, all these different things. And I just want to encourage everybody to continue to go to our website and look at the COVID page. And we've tried to collect as much information as we can on what resources are available right now. And we update that as new things come about, or if an agency is no longer providing a service. We just want to make sure people know that there are services available no matter what your situation is. A lot of these folks, as you and I have talked about time and time again, have never used services before and think it's not for them. And we've had a lot of people that they're just not doing that. I mean, we've heard from people who said, oh, I didn't even know that I could do this. We're trying to get that message out that this is for everybody, anybody that's been affected.
Absolutely. UWDecatur.org would be the website. Debbie, have a great week and weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Debbie Bogle from the United Way. Here is Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast. Back with more after this.
Today is going to be sunny with a high near 46 and tonight mostly clear with a low around 21. For Friday, partly sunny with a high near 28, and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 32. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 34 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:51.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Run with the John Deere 1025R now at Sloan Implement. Your 1025R Sloan deal comes with a 60-inch drive-over deck and a 120R loader. Talk about bundling. Right now, you'll get 0% for 84 months. That's just $172 per month. 0% for 84 months, 20% down required. Some restrictions apply. See Sloan Implement for details. Offer ends 2/1/21. Visit Sloans.com. We're John Deere people, too.
Powered up with Sloans.
You're building a legacy, and you're at a point where you're moving beyond your own financial goals. You're focused on your family's security, giving to a cause you're passionate about, or even starting a foundation. Entrust Busey Wealth Management to maximize your wealth's potential. We'll provide you with the highest level of personalized service with your goals and values at the forefront. Learn more at Busey.com. Busey is proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC. You want your children and grandchildren to focus on their future, not tuition. For more than 150 years, UC Bank has partnered with families and businesses to establish impactful, enduring legacies. UC's experienced advisors can help build plans and develop strategies that work as hard as you do, evolving to create lasting impact for your family and legacy. Learn more at BUC.com. BUC is proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
The Refresh with NowDecatur.com. It's your daily snapshot, your daily conversation starter. Content you can't get anywhere else. It's the best of Now Decatur straight to your inbox every day. Get curated content, top headlines, daily weather and podcasts. Plus, get real estate listings, restaurant and show recommendations, family-friendly events, and more. Join the thousands of people in Macon County getting the Refresh in their inbox. Go to NowDecatur.com and click opt in to sign up for the Refresh now. You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I don't know if you can remember back to, like, I don't know what, a year ago, 2 years ago, when you had, like, HDMI 1 and HDMI 2, and you had to turn this off and that on just to sort of get to a platform. Well, Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. You literally can watch YouTube channels, videos, vlogs right on your TV with X1. Only Xfinity X1 lets you watch YouTube right on your TV with all your other movies and shows. It is amazing. The DVR, which can watch and record up to 6 shows, plus start watching in one room, finish it in another room. We are really spoiled right now, folks. I mean, we live in a time when our entertainment is right, literally, at our fingertips. Do you remember not all that long ago when you were using the remote to sort of highlight letters, to spell out words, to try to find something? Now with the X1 voice remote, you just say it into the remote and boom, there it is for you to enjoy on your large screen. All of your apps, Pandora, YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, whatever it might be, all right there. The simplest, fastest, and most complete way to access all of your entertainment on all of your screens. You remember when you used to worry about how much space you had left for the recording? Were you one of those people that, like, when you got up to like 70-80% started deleting stuff, or did you just keep adding? Or were you one of those that wanted to keep it down around 25%? You know, that is an interesting question about people's natures and their own psychology. You don't have to worry about that. You can watch and record up to 6 shows. Plus, start watching in your living room, continue into your bedroom, take it with you on your tablet. It is so fantastic. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. When we talk about how we watch things today, right, I think I watched the presidential inauguration on my tablet for the first time ever.
That seems to be your kind of go-to device anyway, right?
No. I mean, it depends on where I am. And, you know, we have a – sometimes I just don't turn on the TV. It's just easier to sort of have it right there with you. It's large enough. You know, it's portable.
Yeah. I mean, it's designed that way. I mean, like we've talked about probably 100 times, content is meant to be where you are now. It just really is. And being in front of a rectangle on a wall – you know, crowding around in a bar, you know, to see the end of something. It doesn't have to happen. You can sit right at your table, wait in your car. You could be anywhere in the world.
I know. I feel like it's a little more intimate, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be.
For some reason. Like, the smaller size seems to be, like, I'm a little more engrossed.
Yeah. And I think there's some truth to that, for sure.
All right. We've got a lot to get to tomorrow. It'll be another action-packed Friday. We'll check in with Pastor Matt. The mayor will be with us, the DPS spotlight. The Brinkouter Home Highlight, Angela will join us from the YMCA. We will have all of that starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow. And the great thing is, if you miss it live, when we understand everyone's very busy, you can get the podcast anytime you want, 24-7, 365, courtesy of the Bob Brady Auto Mall. All you have to do is go to nowdecatur.com or wherever you get your podcast. You can get by interview or by hour, and we'll give you those choices because we know you're busy. So we like to slide in there and be as convenient as possible to you. All right, the refresh arrived in your email box about an hour ago. If you're looking for the full transcript of that unbelievable poem, by a 22-year-old by the name of Amanda Gorman. Did I see that she, or Gorman, that she gained like a million social media followers yesterday?
I'm sure. I'm sure, if not more, she had to have.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just thinking about that and the way we communicate and how we are so accessible to each other and yet so far apart in too many regards.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be that way. I thought it was a great day. Hey, what is this? This is a Daryl Hall and John Oates remake?
Yep, called Private Eyes.
And who is the artist?
The Bird and the Bee.
I literally give you. We will see you tomorrow. Get out and enjoy the sunshine. Have a great day.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported 4,822 new confirmed and probable cases of coronavirus disease in Illinois, including 107 additional deaths. Officials also reported 37 new COVID-19 cases. Currently, IDPH is reporting a total of 1,081,354 cases, including 18,398 deaths in 102 counties in Illinois. The Illinois Department of Public Health issued a statement urging everyone to continue to follow safety precautions as regions of Illinois begin to move through different levels.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.